Well, Sanat Wanaksan, first of all, Happy New Year. And the best Happy New Year present was the fact that Parliament was inaugurated at the end of 2016 and that we start 2017 with the final stages of this electoral process. I'd say that the new Parliament is very different in three ways in particular. First of all, legitimacy. Unlike the Parliament of 2012 to 2016, this Parliament has been elected, this is the House of the People, by something like 14,000 individuals. You'll recall in 2012 it was 135 male elders that chose the 275 MPs. This time it's a much, much broader group of people, including many women and young people all around the country. The second thing is the profile of the MPs. Over half the MPs in this new parliament are under 50. That's one in two, at least. And about 14% are under 35. That's about one in seven MPs are youth. And 24% of them are women. So it's a very interesting group. And something like 45% of them to 55% of them are new. We don't know the exact figures yet, but probably well over half are actually new MPs. So it's going to be a very lively parliament. And the third thing that's different is that the parliament is more in keeping with the emerging federal state, because there's an upper house for the first time. Now that's going to create all sorts of interesting new precedents, because no one knows exactly how the upper house is going to be formed and what its relationship is going to be with the lower house. Of course, there are things set out in the constitution, but that has to be put against the test of practical reality. So in very significant ways, this new parliament is different. Well, you know, there are precedents for how this transition period is handled, a transition from the 9th to the 10th parliament, because there have been nine parliaments before. So we have to draw upon those, but as I said, there's now an upper house, so that changes the procedure. But what I envisage is, you know, the ad interim speakers, that's the elders of the upper house and the elder of the House of the People, will work with the clerk and staff and secretary general of Parliament to ensure that the first of all the speaker of the House of the People is elected, and then the deputy speakers. I suspect we'll have a number of people throwing their hat in the ring to become speaker, and then probably quite a large number of people, I hope including some women, who will throw their hat in the ring to be elected as deputy speaker. So we're going to see some intense political lobbying. The upper house has never been done before, but once Somaliland also has finished its nomination, election of members of the upper house, then you'll see a less complicated process for the upper house, less complicated because there are less of them, there's only 54 MPs rather than 275, and fairly quickly I think we'll see the election of a speaker and some deputy speakers. And then once that's done, there has to be, once the speakers are in place and the deputy speakers, I'm hoping that very swiftly we'll see a process for the election of the president. Clearly, the presidential hopefuls need to declare themselves, pay their fees, and then have an opportunity to campaign with the parliamentarians. But I've been talking to the ad interim speakers and the Secretary General of the Parliament, and they feel that this need not take that much time. So we'll see exactly how it pans out, but it's going to be a very exciting and interesting moment, and I hope that there are going to be media present and observers present to witness all this, not least so that we can use the experience as we prepare for 2020, which will be much more ambitious. Things that I would urge the parliamentarians, this new parliament, is to move fairly swiftly, not only because this process has been going on a very long time, but because I think Somalis and the international community, of course we want a properly conducted process, but an extended process isn't necessarily going to make it any better. So once the schedule has been agreed, you know, we need to anticipate all the things that could slow things down and manage them and make sure things happen as swiftly as possible. Well, the National Leadership Forum has played a very important political role over the last 18 months in bringing the leadership of this country together, not just the federal government, but the heads of federal states. And even though it's had that very important political role, it doesn't actually exist in the Constitution. So I think what we need early in this year is to initiate a constitutional review process and decide, you know, what are going to be the roles of the upper house and the lower house, particularly the upper house. I should say the upper house and the House of the People, particularly the upper house, because it's new. Now, the exciting thing about the upper house is it is drawn from the states. So it's qualitatively different from the House of the People. You know, its members are not there just on a 4.5 clan formula basis. They are there because they are representing the six states of Somalia plus Benadir. Benadir needs to be included. And so the issue is, what will that national body actually do? And that needs further thought and further refinement. And it's possible that some of the functions that have been played by the National Leadership Forum may be assumed by the upper house. But I think I would just emphasize that the upper house, the National Leadership Forum has played such an important role in maintaining the momentum, in setting the rules for this process, and I suspect it will continue to play a valuable role, for example, in security sector reform through the National Security Council as we go forward. Well, the big difference between the Federal Parliament now and the Federal Parliament until now is the coming into existence of the upper house, which, as you probably know, is qualitatively different to the House of the People. The House of the People has been elected using the 4.5 clan formula, whereas the upper house will be brought together on the basis of state representation, which means that it has the potential to play a genuinely national role, national decision-making role. You know, when there are issues that require a national approach rather than a clan-based approach or just a state-based approach, this is the entity that can do it. Now, in the absence of the upper house, the National Leadership Forum, which, as you know, is 7 or 8 leading political figures in this country, including the state presidents, the prime minister, the deputy prime minister, the speaker, and the president, that has effectively played a role in taking national political decisions. And it's done so in a very useful way over the last 18 months, including in brokering the agreements about this electoral model, but also looking at things like security and revenue and resource sharing and all the rest of it. Now, what we need to see through the constitutional review process is what exactly the powers of the upper house are going to be. But I suspect it will assume some of the responsibilities that until now, because nobody else was doing them, had been played by the National Leadership Forum. Certainly can. First of all, I can say Senad wa Naksan. I hope 2017 is going to be great. I think it started well and badly at the same time. It started well in that on the 1st of January we had President Hassan Sheikh with Prime Minister Omar Shamaki, witnessing State President Guled and Gass recommitting to the peace process and the ceasefire in Galkayo. But unfortunately, a day later, 2nd of January, we then had a couple of vehicle-borne improvised explosive devices, VBID explosions, that's caused a lot of damage and killed a number of people. So, you know, that shows both the good and the bad that we can expect in 2017. But I suppose my big hope is that this new parliament, this younger parliament with more women, that is more representative, more legitimate, will actually come to terms with the agenda facing Somalia. You know, and that ranges from dealing with the drought and improving education and health and security and all the many challenges that Somalis face, and that they will be a credit not just to the people who elected them and their clans and their regions, but to the country, and give this country a new voice in political affairs. So my question to every MP and anyone listening to this or watching this, ask your MP what he or she has as an agenda for Somalia, and what he or she is going to do for your community, whether you live in a town or a rural area. You know, let's invest in this new parliament and make sure that it delivers for Somalia, and that it is supported to do so.